Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey in Sports Radio 94, WIP.
Another edition of the House Podcast, Jack Fritz. I literally just muted my mic as I did that. I got so excited. I'm not kidding. There's a little blip there. I don't know what recorded what didn't. I'm going to leave it as it is. Because it is the High Hopes Podcast presented by Miller Lite. I did slam into my microphone, Jack Fritz, because we just saw the Phillies just go out to San Diego in game one of the NLCS and just like handle business. Like it was a business trip. Like no big deal. We're just going to shut this lineup down. Kyle Schwarber's going to hit one of the furthest home runs anyone's ever hit in the history of the playoffs. And just, you know, no big deal. Like, it was the most work. Jack, like, what happened? I don't even have a, by the way, I apologize to everyone. No voice since being at the game on Friday night, because every game, or Saturday, because every game I'm just yelling at the top of my lungs, because they keep doing great things. Jack Fritz, like, how crazy is it to think that we spent whatever it is, 5+, 6 years, whatever, doing this podcast, moaning and complaining and whining and saying, where's a great baseball team? We just want to see good baseball. We just want a team that plays the right way and wins games. And wouldn't you know it that 2.5 weeks ago, still the same thing. And now 2.5 weeks later, Jack, we're watching the best team we've ever seen in the history of this podcast by miles. What is happening?
James, I think they're going.
Did you mute your mic too?
No, I didn't. I think they're going to the World Series.
They're three games away. They won a game in San Diego. Like, they're going to be favored now. They're the favorite from the National League to go to the World Series.
I think they're going to the World Series. I don't think I ever thought I'd ever utter that sentence in my entire life. Let me just get this out. Because like I'm struggling. I swear to God, James, if there was a camera on me right now, it would see me struggling to talk because I'm smiling so hard. Like that's how like happy I am about what just happened, dude. Like, dude, Zach Wheeler just pitched an all-time Phillies pitch, like an all-time Phillies game. Like, we're talking Cliff Lee in 09 in New York, game one, all of that. We're talking Cole Hamels pretty much all of 2008. We're talking Roy Halladay no-hitter. And Zach Wheeler tonight is up there with all of those. And, yes, if Topper gave him the chance to go out there for the eighth and ninth, like, I think he would have been fine. But, like, it was like a stress-free 2-0 game that it felt like a June game because I just trust this team so much that it's like, I wasn't even that scared.
Is
Josh Bell terrifying because of what he did with the Nationals against the Phillies? Yeah, but it's like, dude, at no point tonight was I ever like, nah, this is gonna kill him. Like, even when they put Wheeler, I was already preparing the eulogy to tell my kids one
well,
day.
Well, Jack, every single Phillies fan was. I don't think there was a more. There were two things that happened tonight where it was just like you knew that every single person was gonna be in on the same thing. One was him pulling Wheeler, and every single Phillies fan got 1,000 texts saying, "What are we doing? What's happening here?" And the other is that the Bryce Harper face during the Schwarber home run was gonna be everywhere on social media like 2 seconds after it happened. Those two things were the biggest locks of the night.
Dude, I have no idea what I'm watching. Like, I am so used to them just blowing these games, and I am now so freaking cocky about this team that it like, dude, I there was there's like two people in the Padres lineup where I'm like, oh, he's going to hurt us, you know? But like everyone else, I'm like, this is absolutely nothing. This is just going to be cakewalk. I am so, like, I am so happy that I'm speechless. And I
this
feel like
is
I
the
have,
most speechless you've ever been. I think I don't ever remember you struggling to put words together like this.
Dude, like, can I just, I think we need to put this into perspective. Like, our ace went out in a game one and it was insane. Our MVP hit a big, you know, relaxer home run to set the tone and calm everyone down the dugout when Yu Darvish was like starting to get on a roll. The guy they brought in to be the leader of this team, the emotional leader, the basically manager on the field, hit the furthest ball I've ever seen in my entire life.
Unbelievable.
I'm pretty sure.
It was unbelievable. We've all seen the stats. It's the 119.7. It's the second hardest hit ball in the Statcast era, or the hardest home run, the hardest home run ever in the postseason, the second furthest home run in the postseason, at least in the Statcast era. Like it was one of those where to the eye test, it's like, oh, that's one of the hardest hit, furthest home runs I've ever seen. And it's like, oh no, yeah, it actually was.
I mean, think about the synchronicities. I think that's the okay word here.
Synchronicity?
The synchronicity, that felt too big, honestly. If I was being serious, that felt like too big of a word. But I was like, all right, does idiosyncrasy make any sense in this situation?
No.
Okay. But the synchronicity of, all right, so first off, your 1-2 pitchers are pitching like Hamels did in 08, which, like, if you want to talk about you know, where the sport is going now, like back in 08, it was still, you just need one ace and a bunch of other good pitchers. Like now you definitely need two aces pretty much if you want to compete at a high level. But those two guys are pitching like Hamels did in 08. You had the Bryson Stott at bat, which felt like the Brett Myers at bat. You had the Hoskins homer that felt like the Victorino Grand Slam.
And you had
the Schwarber home run that felt like Stairs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really insane right now. So you have, all right, so you have that. You have those two guys that you paid buku bucks to come here. You have Wheeler, you paid buku bucks to come here. You have a manager who has this, like, talk about just pure stones, dude. The pure stones to pull Zach Wheeler at 83 pitches when he looks absolutely unhittable. But you know what he's thinking about, James? Is that he's thinking about the rest of the series. It's a 7-game series. There's no off days between games 5 and 6. Like, you have to think about that stuff. That's big. Whatever. So he pulls him. Like, Sir Anthony has the most stress-free eighth inning I think I've ever seen.
Dude, it's the best he's ever. It's the best Sir Anthony we've ever seen. It's the best we've ever seen. I know it, but how crazy is that? This is the best we've ever seen him, and we didn't even know if he was going to be anything in the playoffs right before. So,
and then Jose Alvarado, who no one trusted with anything 3 months ago, is closing an NLCS game one on the road where he walks a batter and there's a crucial error that would lead to the downfall of every single Phillies team in my entire life. And like, dude, they just did it. Like, they just won. And what we are seeing right now, James, I mean, dude, it's like, I think they're going to the World Series, and I think that this is the best team of the run, even better than any team from 07 to 11. Like,
wow,
I think this team is,
that is bold, buddy.
I think they are legitimately better on paper and on vibes right now than those teams, and those teams were ridiculous.
I mean, that's a very bold statement, and obviously, look, they have to, you know, do more to really justify that. But I get it. Like, I was gonna say to you that they're one of the best Phillies teams of all time, like you said, right now, today, at this moment, one of the best Phillies teams of all time, and obviously the 08 team is as well, the 80 team is as well. But, yeah, man, like again, like they're. I have no fear of anybody. Like, I don't care if it's the Padres, if it's the Astros, if it's the Yankees. Like, I wasn't scared of the Dodgers. I actually wanted to play the Dodgers more than the Padres by the end of it. Like, we have gotten to the point where there is no team in baseball that scares me. There's no team in baseball that I don't think the Phillies can go in and beat in their house or here, by the way. I mean, I think, you know, as we saw, like, the Phillies have the biggest home field advantage left in the playoffs on top of all this stuff. Jack, like, I'm right there with you, man. Like, this is, this whole run has been surreal for us, right? You know, because especially, look, what we just talked about, literally, what, like, 2.5 weeks ago, what was it, 3 weeks ago, that 13-4 game? It was somewhere between 2.5 and 3 weeks ago was the 13-4 game in Washington, where all of us, every single one of us was like, they are a bunch of losers. This team are losers. They are never going to get this done. They're always going to break our hearts. Like, this is who they are. And since that game, like, in the span of 2.5 to 3 weeks, they have morphed in to the best Phillies team we've seen in the history of this podcast. And like you just said, one of the best Phillies teams of all time. In the past 3 weeks, Jack, we've made that transition to the point where we all trust them with our lives in the playoffs, and we don't even stress about it. Like, you're so right. I was not stressed tonight. And the ninth inning, and it's so funny because Josh Bell was the only thing that stressed me. I wasn't stressed about Soto and Machado for some reason, but Josh Bell steps to the plate and all these little things come up. But even then, I wasn't stressed. Like, compared to the way I normally would be with the Phillies in that situation, I was like, you know what? We got this. We're winning this. We're winning game one. I kept thinking about it. We're just going to win. And like, how are we there, Jack? How are we there? It is like a switch flip. And all of a sudden, this team is the exact team we always wanted them to be, the team we dreamed of. Like, they're here in front of us, winning playoff games. Like, it's no problem. Like, they've done it forever. We talked so long, Jack, about this team needing to learn how to win, right? Like, that was one of our rallying cries on this podcast was, like, they need to learn how to win. They don't know how to win. And they brought in Schwarber, and this season we saw them learn and start to win and stuff. But somehow in the span of 3 weeks, they've turned into a team that, like, absolutely knows how to win and goes out and handles business in big spots, Jack. Honestly, I don't ever remember in my lifetime, as a Philly sports fan, my opinion on a team changing so epically, dramatically in such a short period of time. We've never seen this, Jack.
We've not. Like, we straight up have not seen this. And I think that they are better now than even we would have thought preseason, you know, because I think preseason would have been like, well, Castellanos is going to be great, and Schwarber's going to be the leader, and Harper's MVP, and JT bounce back, Reese is good, this and that. But, you know, think about where we were preseason. Like, boom, no one liked it all. He's now like an integral part of this. Bad error in the ninth. Bryson Stott is the shortstop, which I think we had an idea of. But still, you know, he's here. He's playing well. Good defense tonight. And I trust him in big moments. Brandon Marsh is better than anything we had in center field at the beginning of the season.
By miles, dude. By miles.
But then you really get to everything else. Like, position-wise, I think we had an idea of what this team was going to be. But look at everything else. Nola, we couldn't trust in big games heading into the season. Now it's like, yeah, he's got it. Zach Wheeler, again, we always trusted. But their decision to shut him down for a month in the middle of the season was freaking brilliant. Because look at what the guy's doing right now. I mean, the guy's pumping 98 in the seventh inning of a dominating start in NLCS game one. Like, that decision absolutely worked. But it's not even the starting staff, you know. It's the bullpen. It's Jose Alvarado, who, again, no one trusted, who was sent down for 3 weeks to the minor leagues, was a complete afterthought. I never thought about Jose Alvarado ever. And when he came back up, it's like, oh, this 94 mile an hour cutter is a cute idea, but can you really trust him? And he did it tonight. Like, just never doubted himself. You have Sir Anthony, who heading into the season, people are like, yeah, I would love to believe in Sir Anthony, but I don't know if he can stay healthy. David Robertson's here now. Zach Eflin's out of the bullpen now, which is something that no one had any idea what was happening. They are a damn good baseball team, James. Like, they are a damn freaking good baseball team from top to bottom. And when you see them go against the likes of the Padres, you're like, what should I be afraid of? Like, really, what should I be afraid of? They are, like, Soto and Machado are unbelievable. We know that. Josh Bell is terrifying. Cronenworth puts the bet on the baseball. Like, I don't know why I'm like kind of afraid of Austin Nola, but I don't know. It's just because like
because he's got the Nola vibes. Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I think anyone anyone connected to a Philly, like it's like by proxy right now.
I know. You know, Darvish was really good tonight.
Darvish was great. Darvish was really, really good.
But like, dude, Blake Snell. I don't want to get ahead of myself because like my whole take today was I think they win game two. I think they win game one and lose game two. But at this point, like, I have Nola on the road where he's been great versus Blake Snell, who I don't 90, trust. In a
92
big game.
Degrees, Jack. They're calling for 92 degrees really? Tomorrow. A little Aaron Nola heat, buddy.
Well, he has dominated the cold. I mean, he dominated his last start in the cold. But, like, we talk about this team reaching the potential that we thought preseason. They've changed a lot from what we thought preseason, and they're way better than we thought preseason, James.
Way better. Jack, they're three wins away from the World Series, man. Like, we thought they were going to be good this year. We thought they were a playoff team. We both felt really confident that they would end the drought. We knew that, you know, baseball, anything can happen. But they're no matter what, you know, I thought was going to happen, how good I could be, like, I in my heart, deepest heart of hearts, I didn't think I would be sitting here talking to you on October 18th, talking not just about them in the NLCS, but talking about them incredibly confidently in the NLCS, feeling like they are going to go to the World Series. Like, that is how I feel right now. And obviously, they still got to play good games. To your point, like, you know, many series of you've won the first game and things change. But I have full trust in this baseball team right now. And to your point, it's like, well, I have trust in Aaron Nola. I have trust in guys like I never thought I would in this type, like in this type of spot, you know?
Well, again, the Phillies have never won a postseason series in their entire existence as a franchise, where they've lost game one in a series, and they won game one tonight. Like, that's a massive win on the road in San Diego, where you capture momentum and you split on the road. Like, you split on the road with a chance to take a commanding, like an absolutely commanding 2-0 lead with your second ace on the mound, who's been arguably as good as your first ace. And Blake Snell, again, like, I wish Blake Snell was pitching here because he would have no shot.
Yeah,
like, Blake
Snell, I talked about that tonight. I watched a game with Neighbor Dan tonight, by the way. What a shout blast. Shout out to Neighbor Dan. Also, with you know, Elliot Tripp Parks was there. My buddy Tommy, his buddy James. We had a blast. It was really fun.
Oh, wow. So everyone but someone.
That's, yeah. Were you going to come in from Westchester to watch the game? We all live next to each other. You're the one who moved out of Philly, buddy. This is on you, pal. Literally, all of us live within a block of each other.
Well, I didn't think the Phillies were going to make the World Series.
I know.
Had I known that information, maybe I would have stayed in Philadelphia.
I know. Dude, I mean, it is... Like, so I was going to say this before, and I'm happy I remember to say it, because it is funny, because throughout this whole thing, like...
Hold on, buddy. Hold on. I got something for you. Ooh. I got something for you.
Uh-oh.
Oh. It's time.
Miller Lights for Phil's wins.
Yep,
shout out to Miller
Lights. That's what we do. That's what we do.
That is what we do. And shout out to everyone who yelled at us at the stadium. That was super freaking awesome. But, Jack, it's crazy, because, you know, you think about what it's been like over... you know, the course of this run here and the, you know, kind of lack of faith that we had before in this team. And, you know, I kept saying throughout when we had that first playoff game and the Segura hit and really even them clinching, when we did the clinching pod, we kept talking about how it feels so surreal. It feels so hard to believe that this team is there and that they're, you know, they actually made it. And then, wow, they actually won a series. This is so cool and so surreal. And I thought at a point in the Braves series, it still felt surreal. It all feels surreal. We really got to the point with this podcast where it's not like we never thought this was going to happen, but we really didn't count on it or plan on it or really like genuinely believe that it, something like this, this kind of run was coming, just because it's been so long and it's so hard to believe that that's going to happen when you haven't seen it for so long. But the funniest thing is I thought I had kind of gotten past the most surreal part of it, but tonight... like, honestly, it might have been the most surreal of it all for me, because tonight was the night where it felt like, you know, they, all right, they already won the two series. They beat the crap out of the Braves at home, like all that. And then they to start off the NLCS like this, just with such a, to the point we just made, you know, an un-Phillies-like win, just to be so businesslike and so on the ball. And, you know, not the fact that that Alec Bohm error did not come back to haunt them is like, every single game the last 5 years, they lose that game because of that. Like, every game, man. Every game. So it's just, like, watching what we watched tonight and literally sitting here thinking, like, I think they're going to go to the World Series. It is, my brain can't process it, Jack. Like, I'm still struggling to wrap my brain around it.
You heard my brain crap
no,
out.
Not be able to talk. Yeah, I know.
Like, dude, like, dude, I am so programmed to feel losses coming from a mile away. It is like the ethos, which we talk about a lot on this podcast. The ethos of my brain is programmed. The Phillies are going to lose this game. You know the Phillies are going to lose this game. And they just freaking don't, man. Like, game one out in St. Louis, loss. Seen that loss 1,000 times. Game two in St. Louis, seen that loss 1,000,000 times. They get a lead and they blow it. Like, we've seen this team rally back and stick true and be tough and be resilient through so many games. Like, the game one in Atlanta, that's a loss I've seen 1,000,000 times. Game two in Atlanta was actually a loss. You know, I know like, we got to mix them in every once in a while. I gotta be honest. Like, games 3 and 4 never really felt like losses. Games 3 and 4 felt like absolute
They were the least feels like a loss games that we've ever seen the Phillies. Yeah, honestly, ever. Maybe.
But it's so funny because they have gone from, oh, good golly gosh, I'm so glad they made the playoffs, to, oh, good golly gosh, we get a home playoff game, to, they're gonna make the freaking World Series, and if they don't, I'm gonna be absolutely freaking crushed to my soul. I will be crushed to something that I've never felt before in my entire life if this Phillies baseball team doesn't make the World Series. Like, thankfully for me that Jill and I never broke up or I never experienced heartbreak or really any of that from that nature. This would be about the equivalent of that, I'm sure. Like, if this team doesn't make the World Series, dude, James, they are three freaking wins from this is not like this isn't some like sham of a mockery of a Mickey Mouse thing in a baseball, whatever, even though, like, every single fan base is trying to turn it into some mockery of the sport, which is not. Like, maybe just win your series after you've been off for 5 days. Not that hard. But, like, dude, they are 3 wins away from going to the World Series, man. Like, that is so hard for my brain to compute, and it's so hard for your brain to compute. I know it's older, and I'm just begging that your brain doesn't fall apart as this podcast goes along.
Me too, buddy.
And think of everyone out there that listens to this podcast, where it's like, dude, we've done this 1,000,000 times the last, like, week, where it's like, you think about every scrub that sat here that we talked ourselves into. And, like, dude, they're 3 wins away from going to the World Bleeping Series. And we actually feel like it's real. That was a stress-free NLCS game on the road. Now, did it help that, like, Petco Park is not intimidating at all? Yeah, I'm sure it helped. But, like, it's insane. It is insane. The level of trust that we have placed in this team, where 2.5 weeks ago, there was legitimate conversation of they don't deserve to make the playoffs. Backing into the playoffs would be disappointing, to now where it's like, I think this is the best Phillies team in my entire life.
I mean, it's just like, it's insanity. This never happens. Like, we never, honestly, we keep talking about the 07-11 run and not for obvious reasons, but, like, 93 is kind of like a comp in a way, in that, like, you know, look, that team was worse to first. So, like, no one expected them to be good, but they kind of started off hot and just got good. But we never have the kind of out of nowhere run You know, it's like in 08, like, you know, they were in the playoffs the year before. We expected them to be good. Like, we thought they were a real contender. Like, again, to the point of 3.5 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we were, everyone thought they were the biggest losers in the city. Like, we've never gotten that kind of, like, you know, oh yeah, like, we'll see what happens, to like, oh my goodness, yeah, oh wow, what a fun win. Oh, oh my, wait, hold on. Well, oh my God, they're going to, like, you know, we've never had this type of thing where it's like a 3 week thing and all of a sudden we're like, we're going to the World Series. Like, what is this?
I think the closest comp is actually the 08 Eagles.
Like, oh yes, what a good comp. You're right. After when Donovan got benched, they were bad. It's a great comp, Jack.
They were the 08 Eagles, Kevin Cobb came in at halftime at Baltimore. It seemed like everything was kind of crumbling apart.
What
it was
a good comp by you, dude. Honestly, like, this is really impressive. Nice job.
It was towards the end of the run. It was towards the end. Now, so they had a way better run, obviously, than this team had. Like, this, that we knew that team. We knew Trey. We knew Ronnie. We knew Donovan. We knew Westbrook. We knew Dawkins. We knew Lito. We knew Sheldon. Like, we knew the basis of that team, but at the same point, like, it was towards the end. There's a little bit of Eagles fatigue, and they just strung together a run out of nowhere. You know, they made the playoffs. They had the game over the Vikings with the Westbrook screen. That's like, that is still an underrated Eagles moment in team history. So you have that, and the only other comp I came up with was the 2010 Flyers. Like, with Leighton, you know, carrying them to the cup. But that was also, like, came
and
out
hockey,
of nowhere.
And hockey's like, a little different. But, yeah, it's another good one.
Yeah. And they weren't as talented. Like, this team always had talent.
Nor as dominant in the playoffs. Like, they had the magical, you know, come from three down. But, like, the Phillies are just whooping teams. The Phillies have only lost one game. Like, you know, it is different, you know?
Dude, what are we watching?
Like, the Phillies are 6-1 in the playoffs. The Phillies are 6-1 in the playoffs. Like,
what's their run differential? I mean, they,
it's got. I mean, they went 17-4 at Citizens Bank Park. It's got to be pretty freaking high. You know, they lost the game. They lost by 3 runs. So, like, pretty freaking high.
It's like, come on. Like, again, I don't know. I my brain cannot compute what we're watching right now. It just physically can't. This is something that I want everyone out there that listens to us and loves this baseball team, like, do not take this for granted, because what we're witnessing right now is special high level stuff that we don't get around here every often. Like, I would love to, I know I said on the last podcast, like, this is only the beginning, but that was also like with the base level of, you know, NLCS appearance, maybe World Series. Like, I'm at the point now where this is such a magical out of nowhere run to where, like, I'm not sure this will happen again. You know, I thought the Foles, I think this team making the World Series / possibly winning it, it would be just as improbable as Nick Foles being like the Super Bowl MVP and having that, because the Eagles at that point, they were a dominant football team that was unfairly.
Yeah, that's why I didn't bring him up. Exactly. That's why I'm bringing him up, because like it was out of nowhere that they won with Foles, at least for the rest of the country after the Atlanta game. It wasn't for us, but it was going before that. But they were still the one seed. They were a dominant football team. I'm with you. It's a little different.
This team was not dominant all year. They won 87 games. They have been largely a disappointment. And when we needed them the most, they turned into one of the better teams in the sport. You know, there's going to be a lot of conversation over the next couple of weeks of like, whoa, do the Phillies even deserve to be there? Extra wild card team this, extra wild card team that. Like, how they're playing right now is one of the better teams in the sport, and how we kind of thought we were getting heading into the postseason. And it's such an insane run that it's so hard to put into words, and these guys are turning into our guys right in front of our eyes, and it's just you've said it. I don't know. I mean, if there was a counter,
it is. Though.
You said it a million times, but it's just magical.
It is. It's magical. By the way, I put it together there. The Phillies have outscored their opponents in 7 postseason games, 35-15, a +20 run differential for the Phillies in seven games, Jack. You're going to win a lot of games when you have a plus 20 run differential through seven baseball games in the playoffs. You make a great point. Like I think that's why it's so hard to kind of wrap around it, because again, like, honestly, I don't even think, cause you're right. That Eagles team is a really good comp, but even then, you know, it was, they were what, like 6-6 or 5-6 or something like that. And then, or 5-6-1 or whatever it was. And they end up 9-6-1 and then they go on the run, the playoffs and stuff like that. Like you had time to kind of, you know, get on board and get on the run a little bit. Like this has been 3 weeks. This has been 3 weeks from like the absolute nadir, the bottom of how we felt about this team this season, the bottom of the September swoon, to, again, to your point, like us thinking they are going to the World Series and thinking they can win the World Series. Like we could be having a parade in like 2.5 weeks in Philadelphia. There could be a parade, Jack. I've had two in my lifetime. As you like to point out, I'm old as bleep. And I've had two in my, well, three technically, but I was 2 years old for one of them. Like that, this doesn't happen, Jack. This doesn't happen here. This doesn't happen. And in the span of 3 weeks, it has gone from the bottom to the top. Like it is again, honestly, Jack, if they can finish this out, and right now it is already one of the most insane things. If they finish this out, I think it is the most insane month in the history of Philadelphia sports that any team has ever had. Like no one has ever gone from, and again, Foles, when Wentz went out in Foles, but that was more time. Like that's the only thing even close in terms of a short period of time where no one believed they could do it to everyone believed they were gonna do it. Like this is crazy. It is unheard of, especially in this city.
So the title that you were 2-4, was that the 1967 Sixers?
Yes, nailed it. Yes. Wilt, your guy. You know? Let me tell you, it's great, Jack. Your takes are unfair. Let me echo what many say. You know, youngin'. Wilt was great. It's all in my own eyes.
Unlike the Phillies, Wilt was a loser. dude. Like, you're going through this whole thing. Yeah, I swear to God. I wish that there was a camera on me, because you're going through this whole thing. You're going through this whole soliloquy of best ever, best this, best that. And I am just sitting here with a bleep eating grin on my, like, dude, like, all right, let me try to put this into words. You, me, the people that listen to this podcast, like we are so different than most of the people that are watching the Phillies right now. Like I'm all aboard with people getting in on the Phillies, but like there's if you know me at all, there's definitely a portion of, there's definitely a part of me that is like name 10 players right now, yeah, or
gatekeeper, as they say.
Yeah, and like, dude, I'm so proud to be a gatekeeper. I don't care at all. It doesn't compute. Like I texted my friend this the other day, and shout out to Tom O'Neill, who listens to the podcast and is putting up a pot of coffee just so he can listen to this podcast.
Shout out to Tom.
It doesn't compute in my brain cheering for the Phillies when you've watched less than like 60 games in a year. And I know like 60 sounds a lot, but it doesn't compute in my brain you raising your arms and cheering if you like didn't experience Yadiel Hernandez 7-1 against the Mets this year. Like I don't understand how you think you have the right to feel like we are the same. Like I don't want you to feel like you are the same as me, you, and the people that listen to this podcast. I swear to you, that's exactly how I feel.
That's the least surprising thing you've ever said, by the way.
It doesn't compete with me.
Yeah.
But the real ones, the disease, like just sit back and think about where we are right now. Like the team that we love, and I love the Phillies. You love the Phillies. People listening to this podcast love the Phillies. And I know it's an Eagles town and we get beaten over our heads with, why do you care about the Phillies? Like, baseball is dead. Baseball is this. Baseball is that. This team is 3 wins away from the World Series and is making the 11 years of just pain and torture and brutalness that was watching them blow it September after September, they are making it all worth it now. And they are making us like just almost well up inside with happiness, because that's what Phillies baseball means to us. Like, what Phillies baseball means to me is like everything sports wise. Like, sports wise, the Phillies mean absolutely everything. And what they're doing right now, I legitimately, through portions of this podcast, James, I never thought we'd see this. I legitimately never thought I'd see a clutch Phillies team, a team living up to my expectations, our aces being aces, our stars being stars, our bullpen being competent. Like, when we look back on the 2022 Phillies, like 10 years from now, it's improbable. It's improbable, but it's magical. And they're freaking doing it, man. Like, they're doing it. They're doing it in front of our eyes. It is insane.
I know.
It is insane what we're watching right now.
I know. It's insane, improbable, impossible, unbelievable. Like, again, I keep, you know, saying surreal, because like, it doesn't feel real. I feel the joy, and I know we talked, but like, no joke, I've thought about it a lot since like Saturday at the ballpark is the single greatest live sporting experience in my life, like without a doubt. It is top 2 or 3 sports days of my life. And the fact that like this key is just, we just get more now. Like we get more. Like, I could have ended there and been like, well, this was just the coolest thing that ever happened. And now it's just like, all right, let's go into San Diego and handle business. And like, the World Series, and to your point, look, and I'm, you know, not quite as gatekeepery as you are. Like, I want everyone to love the Phillies. I want everyone to love baseball because it's my favorite sport. It's the best sport. Like, baseball is just the best sport. And when you watch this and when you see playoff baseball, like, fight me on it. Like, fight me on it, because there is nothing better. Like, there's nothing better. I was watching with 5 people tonight, and every single one of us hanging on every pitch and freaking out on balls and like, you know, pop up, like, you know, everyone's like locked in, and there is nothing else that does that, like, with the drama and the beauty of baseball. But here's what I will say. I agree with you. Like, I want everyone on board, come on in, but like, it just means more to us than to you. Like, I'm sorry. It does. Like, it just, it can mean something to you. And I want everyone to enjoy it and be happy. But you're right in the sense that, like when you watch 160 games, 150 games, 100, heck, 140 games, like, when you plan your life around this team, when you say, I'm giving up 3 to 4 hours a night, with this team, and especially over the last 10 years, 11 years of just trash baseball for a lot of it, and then mediocre baseball for a lot of it, and really until this season, like, mediocre baseball until this season, like it's dedication. It is effort. Like, it takes effort to be a Phillies fan. Like, you can be an Eagles fan and say, all right, I'm gonna give you 3 hours a Sunday, maybe I'll give you a Monday night every once in a while. Like, this is like effort and pain and suffering on a nightly basis for us. How much have we suffered? How many podcasts have we done just talking to each other being like, this sucks. I hate this. I hate that you and I are talking about this right now. I don't even want to be here right now. Like, how many times have we done that? And now we get to talk to each other about glory and about magic and about the team that we spent the last 11 years like suffering on a night-to-night basis for hours, like such a large commitment of our life. We finally get to see that team, those colors, those players on the national stage and doing it at the highest level and playing the best we've ever seen them. Like, I can't believe it, man. Like, I can't. That's the theme of this podcast tonight is very clearly we can't believe what we're seeing. I don't believe what I just saw. I feel like Jack Buck. Like, I don't believe what I just saw. Every night in the playoffs, I don't believe what I just saw, Jack.
I agree. People, I feel like, turned us. Can you put into words how we're supposed to feel right now? And
the answer, dude, tonight is no.
I have literally nothing for you. I have nothing for you other than just crack open a Miller Lite. If you listen
vibes,
to
some, we just got vibes for you tonight.
I know. It's like you crack open a beer, or if you listen to this in the morning, put on a pot of coffee and just celebrate it. Yeah. Like that's
enjoy it. Enjoy it. Like we don't get this.
No, and especially in the history of the Phillies, like, I mean, I guess 83 came out of nowhere, 93 came out of nowhere, but at the same point, like 93.
And even 83, they were still good in 80 and 77 and 78 and 70. You know what I mean? Like, they still like had years there where it was like, this has been 11 years, man. They hadn't won more than 81 games before last year, and they only won 82. I mean, they've been miserable.
They have been. And, you know, I mean, the WizKids came out of nowhere, I guess. But, you know, it's hard to compare stuff because there's no, like, playoffs and whatnot. Like, what we're seeing right now is the most improbable run in Phillies history. And I don't think that's even debatable. It has come so out of nowhere. And, you know, it was funny because I don't know if you felt this way, but heading into first pitch, I was like, I'm not even nervous, you know. I wasn't nervous at all, Jack. The Cardinal series, I was like living and dying and like freaking out over every little thing that happened. And in the Braves series, like, game one was really fun and it was awesome, and they made the play late, and I was like, yeah, this is great. We split on the road, and then just the party that at Citizens Bank Park was over the weekend. It was like, this is like stress-free playoff baseball. That's also like a damn good time to have. This is my park. And then today happened, and I was sitting there, and it's like, even if they lost this series, I wouldn't be like down in the dumps because I'm so happy. And what has happened so far has been so happy. But like, even if they go on a run and they win, it's like, dude, we're about to play in the World Bleeping Series. Like, that, they are, again, we've said it again, maybe more than magical in this podcast. They are three wins away. They are three wins away from the World Series. Three wins away from the World. What are we doing here? This isn't the Phillies. This isn't the Phillies. This is getting excited about, like, Mick Abel and Andrew Painter and looking at Arizona Fall League and stuff. We're not supposed to be here right now.
But you haven't mentioned once that Johan Rojas has been tearing it up. I mean, I haven't even heard the name out of your mouth. Like, what are we doing here? Talk about the ethos of this podcast, Jack.
I have to be honest. I have no idea what any player is doing in the Arizona Fall League. Like, I have legitimately no idea.
That's awesome. That makes me really happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'm so happy. And like, could this series turn negatively? Sure, I get it. But this moment right now, being up 1-0, you already split on the road. You have a chance to bring the San Diego Padres into Citizens Bank Park this weekend. I'm over the moon. I'm happy. I am smiling ear to ear. This is the by far the most fun I've had watching a sporting event in my entire life.
It's amazing. All right, let's get this up, because shout out to every single person who's tweeting they won't go to bed till we put the pot up. You're amazing, and we love you, and everyone. I love everyone. I'm just so happy, Jack. I'm so happy. And seriously, to Jack's point, we said it before, but this is like for you, for the people who listen to this pod, the people who've been on this ride with us, the disease freaking maniacs came to the first I Hopes night and have come to everyone since, the people we see all the time who come to our events, who care so much about this team to listen to us talk, to Jack's point, about the Arizona Fall League and crap like that. That's the type of pods we've had to do that you guys have listened to. So It's really special to be able to kind of go on this journey with you guys. And I can't wait for more. And you know, somehow we've done 44 minutes. I don't think we've said a single thing meaningful in this podcast except three wins away from the World Series. Tomorrow night, different form of the pod. We are actually going to be on WIP, another post-game show for WIP. So call in. It was awesome. We talked to neighbor Dan on the phone last time. We had a few other people, Nick in Atlanta, calling in. We had some pod people. I got a "Yo, it is" on the phone, which is literally the coolest thing a caller has ever done in my radio career. So please call us. We would love to hear from you guys. And obviously, if not, we'll have it up in the feed after the game. As Jack, the Phillies have a chance to take a 2-0 lead on the road in the NLCS. I mean, they already split. We said split. It's done. It's already over. They split, Jack.
Yeah, let's lock in and talk real baseball. They split on the road, which is a massive thing. You know, and they head in tomorrow. Like, first off, you want to talk about a possible revenge scenario? Harper's revenge against Blake Snell.
Oh, buddy.
Thoroughly look forward to. And Nola's on such a roll right now. It's interesting. So I originally thought they win game one, they lose game two. But now after watching game one, it's like, well, I think that ballpark sets up really, really well for Knowles. And I know last year he had like a perfect game or a no-hitter heading into the ninth and lost it on a home run, which is like classic old Aaron Nola, not new Aaron Nola. But I think that ballpark sets up really, really well for Knowles to have a day. And if you're asking me to handicap who I trust more heading into a game two, given all the scenarios, like I trust Nola way, way more than Blake Snell. So I no longer expect a split. Like, I fully expect to be sitting there with you on WIP tomorrow at around 8, I would say, being up 2-0 in a series with a chance to go to the World Series.
Wow. What a insane thing to say. What an insane thing to say. And I'm right
literally
there.
Who let the Phils get hot, dude? Like, all of our stupid bits are coming to life in front of my eyes. Like,
I'm speechless right now because I can't even get out the fact that playoff Nola is a real thing in front of us, Jack. Like, we're talking about playoff Nola taking a hill tomorrow, and like, it's not a 6-year bit that became the saddest thing on this podcast. Like, we used to like playoff Nola, and then it used to become like playoff Nola, LOL. Like, and now we're actually watching playoff Nola, Jack. Like, the dream is real, man.
Well, it's that, but it's also like, it's not only just playoff Nola, but remember like when Sir Anthony came up and it was like, oh, well, this is what a modern reliever looks like. And now he's going 1-2-3 in the eighth, and just mowing down the Padres like they have absolutely no chance. And then, you know, one of the other long-standing bits in this podcast was like, hey, let's trade for guys that throw hard. Jose Alvarado throws pretty hard. It's just like, you know, I'm not one to pat ourselves on the back, right? Like, I, you know, everyone love everyone. Everyone be happy. But, I mean, we really led this franchise down a positive path. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Trade for guys that throw hard.
I'm not saying we should get rings, but, you know, if they want to give us a ring.
I mean, think about it. Brian Barber, you're welcome. I was thinking about today.
I mean, Ani. Who gets more credit for Ani? All we did was say bring in Rays guys. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, never a doubt. Caleb Cotham. I couldn't have been more all in from Caleb Cotham from day one. Brian Kaplan from Cresty Sports Performance. It's like, yeah, hire smart pitching guys. Like, sports pitching is a science right now more than it's ever been in its entire existence. Let's bring in smart pitching guys. And they've like turned all these guys into beasts. It's such leadership from this podcast that I would hope that the Phillies do recognize that. Did we take a big swing and a miss on Dave Dombrowski? Yeah, sure. But we rebounded quickly at the same time.
Super quickly. No one remembers that.
Well, and at the same time, like we knew Matt Moore and Chase Anderson stunk.
Yeah,
you know, like,
we're right about that. I mean,
100% right. So whatever. You're welcome for Schwarbs. All I'm saying is that this podcast, like, we've just led this team down in such a positive direction, and we've you want to talk about turning a franchise around? Name one other podcast. Like, you want to talk about the rights to Ricky Sanchez? I mean, listen, they made them do the process, and they
the Phillies are in the championship round. The Phillies are one of the final four teams in their sport. When was the last time that were the Sixers? Oh, 2001. So, you know.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, cute process, rights to Ricky Sanchez. Why don't you talk about actual change, which is what this podcast has done. Just winners. That's what we do on this podcast, is we just win. Just over and over again. Just telling the Phillies how to do it from day one. So, you know, again, not big pat ourselves on the back, guys. But again, they're not in this situation without this podcast.
I mean, very clearly. I mean, everyone remembers the day Bob Nightingale wrote the article that turned the season around. It was me who was quoted in it. So, you know, we you know, Jack brought Bryce Harper here by himself. You might not know that. So, you know, we're just saying. No big deal. I mean, we don't care. It's like we just want it to be known, you know.
Is there anything else that we have to do? I mean, I gave up on this team and tweeted it feels like a loss a million times, and have literally lost maybe hundreds.
How much money? Yeah, you've lost so much money, especially in the playoffs. The live betting in the playoffs has not gone well for you. I only not bet on the Phillies in one game. Guess what game it was?
Game two in Atlanta.
Yeah. And do you know what I bet on tonight? And neighbor Dan can be my verification of this. I did not bust it out till the very end of the game because I bet $2 because, you know, I'm lame. But I bet on Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber both to homer with the Phillies money line win. So.
It's adorable. What'd you win? $22?
$43, you jerk. It was two to win 43. Pretty amazing.
You're such a loser, dude. Thank you.
But it's a good bet, though, right? I mean, come on.
Well, of course, it's $2, man. Like, it's literally $2. Like, I am dying inside because Tyrese Maxey could have hit another three to give me three threes. Like, first, talk about an awful night. You want to know how bad my night? All right. You want to talk about my night? I was more stressed watching Tyrese Maxey like miss three after three than I was a Phillies NLCS game one on the road. That's how furious I was. Like, I woke up this morning very excited about the NBA being back so I could do the same game parlays again. And then immediately a half into my NBA betting of the season, I was like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. So, cute bet, but just think about the others that have gone through Tyrese Maxey not hitting three threes tonight.
I think everyone listening really feels for you right now, so it's good. It's good.
Well, I did give out, I will say, gambling advice. I did say on WIP today, which again is listened to by millions of people in this city, I did say Schwarber is hitting a homer tonight. Oh, God, and I did tweet earlier today that he's going to win NLCS MVP, so we're off to a hot start.
Look at this, buddy. Yeah, it's amazing. So what a night, buddy. What a night. All right, let's get this pot up. You got any final thoughts?
Yeah, I have like 1,000 final thoughts. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, Jack. What are you doing? It's midnight, buddy.
No, I don't care, dude. This is again, it feels like 9 o'clock. In all seriousness, I forget what my all seriousness was. Moving on. To my various theme take bag.
Yeah, rattle through them, buddy.
The Yu Darvish plan was actually insane for the first three innings of the game. It was like, oh, here's curveball. I'm going to use it when I'm ahead of counts, behind in counts. And like, it took them a good two innings to adjust on the fly to like, okay, he's going to throw fastballs up in counts, which he wasn't doing. And definitely was not on the game plan. Like, if I was saying like heading into the game, I remember what I was going to say. The Kevin Long stories with Kyle Schwarber were like, I was melting inside with happiness. Like Kyle Schwarber or Kevin Long said he was like his pick to click this series because of what he was doing in the cage. So that's what I forgot to say before getting to the take back. Now into the take back, the Darvish plan was insane. And it was infuriating, I'm sure, at home to watch them just not swinging at 95 right down the middle. But when you sit back and appreciate what Darvish was doing, you kind of understood it.
Cool.
Okay, do you want to expound on that?
I don't have anything to say to that. I'm with you. Cool.
Dude, speaking of plans against pitchers, I have no idea what the Padres' plan was against Zach Wheeler. It's like, yeah, let's just try to jump on fastballs, I guess. But at the same time, like, he had, what, 30 pitches in the first inning and then was at 75 pitches by the seventh?
It made no sense. It made no sense.
Like, maybe let's grow up and take a pitch, but whatever. Good job, Padres. Did you see the alternate angle of the Schwarber home run, like, from the fans' point of view?
I literally just saw it. I want to say,
dude,
like,
does
three
it
minutes
not
ago.
Look fake? Like, yeah. Tell me that video does
it
not.
It looks like
look
the
fake.
Michael Vick, that commercial where he throws it.
I
and
thought
it just
the
keeps
same
going.
Thing,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude. I thought it's the
exactly
same
what it looks
exact
like.
Thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't look real.
It's insane.
When they took out, this is full disclosure, like inside my brain, which again is like not the best place to go into, especially in the middle of a Phillies playoff game. But when they pulled Zach Wheeler, I was already thinking about like 25 to 30 years from now, being able to like sit my kids down or like talk on WIP about how I'm still not over Rob Thompson. Rob Thompson pulling Zach Wheeler.
I mean, haven't we at by now learned to not doubt Topper? I mean, how many times we go, oh, take Reese out of the two hole, boom. You know, don't pull Wheeler, boom. It's like right and left. Whatever this guy does, it's like it's just magic. He's got the magic touch.
I agree, but at the same point, like there was no fiber of my being that liked that decision.
Yeah, every Phillies fan agrees. Yes. I did see on Twitter people were saying that the velocity was down at the end there for Wheeler. I don't know. You know, take it for what it's worth. But I think myself and pretty much everyone listening agrees. I would have let at least let him come out and start the next inning. Like, I don't know.
I could not get over Luis Garcia pitching in that game. Like, I know he's been pretty good for 2.5 years now.
He's been very good, yeah.
I do not care. I do not care at all. Like, that guy was terrible here.
He was hard.
And I believed in his stuff, and he completely made me look like a fool per usual. Just a philosophical question for you, James. Do you think that when Aaron Nola's in the dugout and his brother is up to bat in the ninth inning, do you think he's rooting for him to get a hit?
Of course he's not. No. This is an only child question. No one with a brother would have asked that question.
I don't know why you are picking on me.
No, I'm just joking around.
I mean,
no,
frankly,
you get competitive with your brother. You want to beat your brother, especially in a real competitive situation like that. I think Aaron Nola won his brother strike out.
Frankly, people with siblings are freaks. Anyway.
That was great.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. I think you probably should just end on that. It's not going to get any better.
I am filing I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I ran this by you. Because I don't like running things by you before I decide to do things. But I did send an FCC complaint to Fox tonight because they posted Jose Alvarado's postseason ERA.
Yeah.
And there's just absolutely no way that guy's a 5.4 ERA heading
into
the
ninth. We
gave
up two homers, you know?
No, they never.
It's because he's only pitched like four innings, you know?
Simply
didn't happen. It's a sample size issue, Jack.
Nope. So look out for that, Fox. You're being. I don't think sued is the right word, but I'm coming for you. And why was there no Edmundo Sosa at third base in the ninth?
Yeah, that's the bit. Like, I think that was an even more egregious move by Topper. And he's done that a couple of times. And look, you know, it went the other way. You know, I think, you know, the Dalton Guthrie, Nick Cassio, I was thinking, look, let's be honest, Dalton Guthrie probably catches that ball too. But, you know, Topper has been a little... You know, there are a couple spots where it's like pretty clear that you would go defensive replacement in that spot, and he hasn't.
Yep. So, and last thing is the Padres fan rap from this morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
You ever seen it? So, like, you know, like, this is a clear Twitter bit or whatever, but, like, you know, someone says something dumb or whatever, and it was like, Eagles by 1,000 or Phillies by 1,000 or 100 or whatever, you know? This was the most I've ever seen that. Like, every single person on Twitter, national, local, whatever, was quote tweeting that video and doing some version of Phillies by 100 or Phillies are a lock or Phillies are going to the World Series or whatever. It was like the single most I've ever seen.
It was really bad. Now, the question is did they know it was bad or did they think it was cool? Like, did those dorky
They have to know it's bad, right?
I don't know. They seem like they put a lot of effort into it. But
they did. Yeah, it's choreographed.
Either way.
I'm looking at it right now.
That's what's in is now ingrained. It's just ingrained in my brain. That's what's in. Awful. Anyway.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. It's real bad. Not even close to being like a competent song. And I've listened to Butch and Manny Young's Flintstone songs for
years. Oh, Butch is definitely better than this. Yeah.
Yeah, think about that sentence. Anyway,
like, that's all I got.
That's all I got, buddy. Once again, I sit here at midnight on a what is today? Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I sit here on midnight on a Tuesday, and I can't believe this podcast has been an hour long. Especially since the first like 45 minutes, we didn't say anything.
I know.
Just kind of freaked out and just kind of melted down. But I'm looking forward to. Tomorrow on WIP. It's gonna be amazing.
All right, check us out. Call in, like Jack said, probably around 8. Obviously, we'll basically be on like, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour after whenever the game ends, somewhere in that general range. So look for us, listen for us, and call us again. We would prefer to hear from Habs people. That'd be amazing. All right, you got any final thoughts, Fritzy?
Final thoughts is time to go 2-0 tomorrow, and big game, Knowles on the mound. You know, most of what I do final thoughts, it's like, oh, sarcastic, can't wait to see, like, you know, Rickson Wicksgrove making his major league debut like 4 years from now. But right now I'm thinking about the World Series and the Phillies being in it. And that is something I never thought I'd say in my entire life. So go Phils. Enjoy tomorrow. It's going to be special. But either way, they're heading home with a split. And that is just beautiful.
It's beautiful, especially because, you know, they might lose a game at home, but I definitely am not sure that they're gonna lose in that ballpark. I mean, that was insane. All right, my final thoughts, I'll steal one from you, Jack. Just get me to 435. Just get me to 435 tomorrow. Let's take a 2-0 lead. The Phillies are the betting favorite to go to the World Series, Jack. They're the betting favorite to go to the World Series, the clear favorite. Pretty crazy, man. All right, check us out, WIP tomorrow. The Phillies are up 1-0 in the NLCS. He's Fritz himself.